tasty.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to my now weekly update on the Iran war. The talks in Islamabad in Pakistan failed. J.D. Vance, Steve Witkoff, and Jared Kushner predictably were not able to get any sort of deal there. And really, this video is going to be about Donald Trump's ridiculous reaction to this, which has been what is now being called blockading the blockade. That is, Trump wants to blockade Iran's supposed blockade of the Strait of Hormuz. I'll talk more about this and what I think it all means and various other things in a moment. Before we get going, I'll just remind you to pick up a course at the Academic Agency. The bestseller there is The Trivium. The Mega Bundle is a very efficient, cost-efficient way of getting all of the courses at once, apart from Foundations of Shakespeare. I have to get that one separately. But if you do, you can get the book for half price if you send the receipt to the publisher. Okay, so why don't we start at the beginning? There was this, there were these talks. There was a ceasefire, and there were talks between Iran and America in Islamabad in Pakistan. In fact, the scene of the Iranian delegation arriving was quite interesting. Abbas Araghchi arrived as a kind of rock star. He reminded me of almost, I remember like Bret Hart used to kind of walk out, you know, high-fiving the fans and things like that with shades. And something about Araghchi, the way he carried himself and, you know, aura that people talk about, he was really like a rock star or something like that. Arriving in Pakistan. And one of the things they did is they put the pictures of the 168 girls on the seats. They had their backpacks and their photos there to remind everybody of some of the American atrocities during this war. You know, then they sat down for 21 hours and discussed things with J.D. Vance, Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff and various other people. Now, if you want my view, and I'm pretty sure I said this at the time, I still think it was suboptimal for Iran to agree to these talks. The Americans cannot be trusted. The Israelis certainly cannot be trusted. They've shown themselves to be bad faith actors in the past. And frankly, you know, Iran had tempo. They had tempo in the war. Last I saw, Israel was down to double-digit interceptors, and Iran had hit Israel with at least, I think it was 93 waves, 94 waves, I think maybe even 96 waves of drone and missile strikes over the 40 days of the war. And as far as I could see, okay, the Americans and the Israelis were hitting Iran, you know, in many different places, but they were strategically ineffective attacks. There were lots of reports of the Americans hitting tunnel entrances, missile launching sites, and then within the space of a couple of hours, those exact same missile sites then launching, launching missiles at places in the Gulf or Israel within hours. And in fact, lots of people don't even know how the Iranians are doing that, including people living in Iran who have witnessed some of these things. You know, I think they're very quickly digging out those tunnels. And I can only imagine that the missile launchers are mobile, or they're able to, disassemble and reassemble them really quickly. Because some of these sites have been bombed 5-10 times by the Americans, and yet they still fire for those exact same sites. Must be really frustrating for the Americans and the Israelis that all of their attacks are so ineffective in that way. yes, they've hit infrastructure. Yes, they hit schools and universities and things like that. But in terms of actual military strategic targets, they didn't really do that much damage. Probably the biggest thing they hit was an aluminium factory in kind of last day of fighting, and a couple of other things, factories that will take time to rebuild. Okay, so that is, you could say, a pain in the ass, right? Or I think I saw that the Americans hit a lot of control centers that can't easily be built back up again. But if you then have a look at the Iranian campaign and what they hit, well, they took out radars, they took out, they wasted a huge amount of anti-missile Patriots and THAADs and things like that. They depleted the stock of the enemy. They hit lots and lots of, pretty strategic targets in Israel and across the Gulf, and more or less expelled America from many of its bases, which I thought, gave them quite a bit of momentum. But for whatever reason, they agreed to the ceasefire and to go to the negotiations. As I said in my last video, I think the real reason for that is because in the final day of fighting, Israel hit railway that belonged to China. It was Belt and Road. They hit Belt and Road infrastructure, essentially, which I think then made China kind of lean on Iran a bit to come to the table. That is unfortunate, to say the least. I think it was, if I was gaming it, I would have refused to talk, and I would have carried on as they were doing, morning, day, night, afternoon, midnight, just bomb Tel Aviv over and over and over and over and over again, as they had been doing until Israel was completely depleted of interceptors, and then hit them again, 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 until basically they beg like Dr. Wiley. Okay, that's what I would have done. Who knows what it was that made them come to the table? Could have been China, as we've speculated. Could have been the threat of a nuke, right? Maybe it could have been rumors of a nuke or something like that. Who knows what it was that brought them to the table? But for me, it was suboptimal. If I'm gaming it out, I wouldn't have gone in the first place. Just a waste of time for the Iranians. And also, it kind of loses a tempo in the kind of chess match, if you want to put it that way. And it gave the Americans time to get a few pieces into place. They're putting troops into the region. They got these two destroyers there. We'll talk more about that in a second. Gave Israel kind of free hits on Lebanon. All of this stuff is suboptimum, and I would not, I don't like it as a decision, as I've said before. But anyway, for whatever reason, they came to the table, and as soon as I saw that the US delegation included Kushner and Witkoff, basically two Israeli representatives representing the US government to Israeli nationals, basically, Witkoff and Kushner, I knew that they weren't serious. I knew that the talks were a waste of time, that nothing would be sorted out, because how do I know this? Whenever Witkoff and Kushner are involved, you know that it's nonsense. You know that it's a time waste. You know that the Americans aren't taking it seriously, because, at the end of the day, they're two real estate salesmen, okay? Trump's golfing buddy and his son-in-law, right? Really, the Americans have a right to know what those two fuckwits are doing there instead of their professional diplomats and, negotiating team. But as soon as I saw that, I think pretty much everyone knew it wasn't going to be productive. The other problem is that J.D. Vance didn't have the full authority to negotiate there. There are reports that he made 21 calls to Trump during the negotiations, which then begs the question, why wasn't Trump there himself? The vice president didn't have the full authority to negotiate on behalf of America. And part of the problem, of course, is Israel. Part of the problem is the question of, is America truly sovereign, or does it just simply do the bidding of Israel? Okay, and you know, who knows? But there has been talk that Vance was calling Trump, and then Trump was calling Netanyahu, and then they call Vance back and carry on in that sort of way. Basically a shit show. And it was obvious that nothing would be sorted out. And the Americans in their demands went maximalist. They kind of decided to try to play the bully again. Well, that's a nonsense, because what's the point of coming to the table? The whole point of having a war is when you can't sort things out at the negotiating table, right? It's politics by other means, war, right? The Americans are not in a position to dictate the terms, because in Iran's view and in the views of many people, they're the ones in the humiliator who've taken the L. So they can't be then expecting to come back with maximalist demands, which was the whole point of the war in the first place. So obviously, the maximalist demands were designed to jettison the talks. They were designed to destroy the talks. Then what happened is Trump came out and made one of his interminable, long, scroll-length, you know, retarded truth socials, where, you know, along with the usual, you know, I'm going to bomb sanitation plants and power plants and so on and so forth, as well as those that sort of bluster that we've heard 10 times already. He also said that he is now going to blockade the Strait of Hormuz himself, that America is going to blockade the Strait of Hormuz, and that the arrangement that Iran was coming to, where some people were allowed through if they paid the toll, the $2 million charge, or if they negotiated other terms, like the Chinese had done, like the Pakistanis had done, like the Indians had done, like the French had done, Japan also, and various other countries. Trump was like, no, that can't go. You can't be selective, right? It's either all or nothing. So now, right, Iran didn't fully close the Strait of Hormuz. We're gonna fully close it. Which, again, if you're an absolute retard, goes hard, as many Americans jumping over themselves to dribble and cope and try to explain the actions of their probably mentally ill president at this point, have been trying to like spin this as a masterstroke again. Right, so to steel man their argument, to steel man the idea of blockading the blockade, you put a stranglehold on Iran's economy by squeezing their oil exports, so they can't get the oil out because you are now blockading their oil flowing out. Okay, and also you take away their leverage by removing their ability to dictate the terms on the strait, thereby taking away their leverage. Okay, now I'm gonna wait, and also. Hold on, there's a third string to the cope steel man, okay? The other thing it does is that it puts pressure, it hurts China. China won't be able to get its oil. China won't be able to get key resources in and out because the strait is closed by America. This puts pressure on China. In turn, China will put pressure on Iran, which is they perceive having pushed them to the talking table in the first place, maybe they can lean on Iran again, you know, something like this. This is like the steel man strongest case for what Trump has done here, okay? Apparently, it was suggested by this ancient general who goes on Fox News, Jack Keane. Another thing I read is that it was a Substack piece written by Richard Haass, who's some pro-Israeli guy in America. Whether it came from the head of Trump, General Keane, or Richard Haass, right, it doesn't matter because it's a stupid plan. And now I'm going to explain why it's a stupid plan. First of all, the leverage that Iran got, it does not depend on Iran's ability to charge this toll, right? this was a compromise it was making to let certain people through to not just disrupt world trade too much. Okay. The leverage Iran has got is that the chokehold on the strait, okay, puts the global economy under pressure. America is the hegemon in the world and is meant to be the guarantor of that world trading system. So if the world economy goes tits up, that's the American empire's economy that's going. It's not Iran's empire. It's America's empire, okay? Iran can take some economic pain. It's been under sanctions for 47 years. But the notion that you're that it's going to hurt Iran by crashing the entire world economy, the world in which you have the Pax Americana, right? And the notion that that is somehow an American win is stupid. It is literally stupid. You are destroying the system that America built in the first place. The global American economy would be the thing that is destroyed. So that's the first problem, that Iran's leverage is not from its actual physical control of this toll booth. It is of the fact that the block on the strait puts pressure on the globe, on the economy, which then in turn puts pressure on the American economy and in turn creates a headache for Trump. Right? So this notion that Trump doesn't really care about this is stupid. He's literally just making up any old shit. He has to try to show strength somehow. He has to try to pull a win out the bag somehow, like a gorilla. And so he comes up with this. Okay, again, not thinking beyond stage one. Just short-term, tactical, how can I get through this next news cycle? Okay, so that's the first problem. The second problem is, what is it that actually goes through the strait? It's not just oil, okay? It's not just oil. And I should mention, by the way, that Iran has other ways of getting oil out. It can go up through the Caspian Sea into Russia that way, okay? There are different oil terminals and pipelines that Iran can use, okay? It does not only have the strait that it can get oil out through. You can go other ways. It's got other ways of getting oil. You can go up through Azerbaijan as well. Many different routes. You can have a look at a map. Many people have talked about this. This was also discussed when they talked about taking Karg Island. Karg Island is only one of several terminals they've got. They could always reroute. Okay, so that was also a kind of issue with this kind of Hollywood, cape shit, cartoonish thinking that goes on in America all the time. Okay, so it wouldn't actually be the strangle on Iran that they think that some people are saying it would be. But also, what else goes through there? Well, I mean, it just so happened I was listening to this guy called Malcolm Rad, Malcolm Tard, Malcolm something. But he is a former US Navy, he's like a military expert. He used to be in the Navy, and he was calling in as the expert on LBC. And he was saying, like, look, it's not only oil. There are one of the key things, everybody talks about the fertilizers. What about medicine? What about medical supplies? Most medical supplies are coming from China and India. Okay, the two of the major countries connected here, right? And in terms of manufacturers, and we saw this during COVID as well. You remember how much stuff we were getting from elsewhere. And that stuff goes through the strait. So these are some of the things that guy was pointing to that are going to cause, like he was saying, we're weeks away from a global collapse, not months, not years, weeks away from the global economy truly having a serious, serious crisis over the blocking of this strait. The other thing they were talking about is that, well, of course, if America does this, it would be America that ends up taking the blame for it, not Iran. You know, I was listening to Professor Yang, Professor Yang, and he was gaming it out, and he was saying, well, if the war keeps on going on for months and months and months, eventually global opinion would start, you know, at the moment, global opinion seems to be with Iran and against America. But eventually, if, you know, it was threatening famine or if it was, causing real problems, Iran's blockade of the strait would then start turning global opinion against Iran. Well, if America is the one doing the blockade, it's America that will end up getting the heel heat. And this is what they were talking about on LBC. Another huge problem that lots and lots of people have been talking about is what happens? What happens in the scenario where a Chinese ship, cargo ship or something, rocks up and the American warship is there? What do they do? Are they going to open fire on the Chinese ship? Are they going to dock and, you know, get on board and inspect the Chinese ship? What are they actually going to do? And that U.S. Navy expert, Malcolm Rad, I think it was Malcolm Rad, they mentioned he'd written some books and things like that. Sounded black to me. I don't know. Probably a Democrat. I have no idea. But he was saying that when actually faced with that scenario, what the most likely scenario is that they would literally just take the name of the vehicle and let it through, i.e., functionally, the US is not going to actually do this blockade. They just take the name and they'd let it through. And there's actually been some previous of this when America recently blockaded Cuba. It was actually starving Cuba in one of the more terrible things that Trump has done that is not much discussed or reported. The Russians turned up with aid and supplies and things for the Cubans. And there was this moment. What's America going to do? Is it going to open fire on the Russian ship? Is it going to flag the Russian ship down? Actually, what happened is that the Russians just completely ignored the blockade, sailed on through, and they were not fired on. So this has shown that when push comes to shove, when the bluff is called, these blockades that Trump has set up in the past, in Cuba, for example, don't actually end up opening fire on international vessels, on international shipping. So if you want my bet, we're gearing up for yet another taco. Trump has set up yet another taco. Okay, I'm recording this. You'll watch it on Monday. Okay, Tuesday is tomorrow. Will we get another taco Tuesday? We'll see. Who knows? By the time I actually record this and get it up, he could have tweeted out, this could be dropped and we'd be onto some other thing. Do you remember Colonel Jesus, ladies and gentlemen? What's his name? What does he look like? Do you remember? Do you remember yesterday or the bills you have to pay? Who was that? David Bowie, Young Americans. Frank, they're sick to the back teeth of Americans, aren't you? So anyway, I cannot see. This is not a good plan from Trump. The blockade of the blockade has just got disaster written all over it, but even more, it's got taco written all over it. Taco. I should mention, by the way, that just as I was coming on air, I saw that Viktor Orban has lost, that J.D. Vance's visit to Orban actually lost him points. And this is very interesting. Very interesting to me. Because it's the beginning of the end of sloppyism. It's the beginning of the end of this kind of populist project, this kind of Zio-aligned populist project that we've been seeing. Because Orban has absolutely tanked thanks to his association with Trump and his friendship with Trump. We're seeing similar effects for Nigel Farage in this country. Okay, in Europe, Meloni and Le Pen were quick to actually distance themselves from the war and from Trump. Okay, they had better instincts than Farage and Orban. But this is a new development. And I said it before, I think that the tweet that Trump sent where he threatened the whole civilization was basically the beginning of the very end of Trump. I still think when all is said and done, we are living through the end of Trump right now. How it resolves, I don't know, but I think that we are. I mean, that guy on LBC, for example, describe what Trump is doing as mental illness disguised as foreign policy. Mental illness disguised as foreign policy. And I have to agree, his behavior, his statements, you know, his handling of everything just smacks of a man who is no longer playing with a full deck and is screaming out for the 25th Amendment. And perhaps the greater visibility of J.D. Vance at the moment is basically to try to sell the idea of a president, J.D. Vance. He could do like a Gerald Ford role or something like that. You know, after Nixon, there was Gerald Ford for a while to see out the term. Maybe we'll see Vance see out the term. I truly believe Trump is toast. I mean, another thing that he did over the weekend is that he had a go at Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones and Megyn Kelly and Candace Owens and called them all low IQ and, you know, threw all of his people under the bus, basically, in preference for Mark Levin. Now, the problem with that is that nobody likes Mark Levin. Nobody likes Mark Levin. I actually had a look to see, you know, the total number of people who might like Mark Levin. And a high ball, the highest ball estimate I could find was 8 million. That is the total viewership of Fox News. Whether Levin on his actual show gets 8 million, I very much doubt it. The other people that Trump threw under the bus, Alex Jones, Tucker Carlson, Megyn Kelly, and Candace Owens, between them have 70 million people who watch them on all formats, on all different platforms. I think that we're watching the true implosion of MAGA. MAGA is just, I mean, if you didn't think MAGA was dead before, it truly is dead now. And this idea that MAGA is going to be able to go to war with four of the most popular kind of political podcasters on the planet. Okay, I mean, you could say what you want about Tucker, Candace, and Alex Jones. They're popular. Alex Jones has got a dedicated, diehard, loyal fan base. I saw a lot of people disgusted at Trump for throwing Alex Jones. I mean, Alex Jones has suffered. Alex Jones has given a lot for his support for Trump over the past decade. And, you know, to see him discarded like trash, okay, has left a bad taste in the mouth. And there's this distinct feeling. It's dawning on everybody. I called it Trump's law. Over a year ago, I said Trump's law. Everything Trump does, he does for them, he does for Israel. Well, now he is just torching MAGA, torching his reputation, torching America's reputation, torching his presidency. And he's doing it all for Benjamin Netanyahu. And everybody is asking why. Tucker Carlson is asking why. Tomorrow, I'm going to be reviewing Tucker Carlson's appearance on the BBC. I thought it was really interesting that Tucker was hosted on the BBC. I'm going to be watching that tomorrow. I believe that we're in the process of seeing something historic in American politics and in world politics at the moment. I'm convinced of that. And in the middle of it all, though, we have to suffer the delusions of this absolute madman in the White House, who is just cognitively incapable of processing a loss, which is what this is, a humiliation, which is what this is. He's trying to save face. He's trying to do anything possible to look the strong man. And he's just looking like a clown. Everybody's laughing at him, apart from some of his supporters, but everybody's laughing at them as well. And if you're still one of those supporters, it's time. It's time. This is now the moment to just walk away from it. Walk away from it. Go and make peace with your libtard neighbor and say, look, I'm sorry. I got it wrong on him. And there are more important things in this world than cheering on Cheeto Hitler. What's going to happen? Who knows? Because, as I said, by the time you watch this, Trump could have, you know, completely changed his mind again. And we could be, you know, with the 87th different script here. So, yeah, this is where we are. This is as things stand. One of the things I was trying to get my head around is that, like, why didn't Iran immediately just start bombing Tel Aviv again? Apparently, there is actually a ceasefire, and during the ceasefire, they're trying to get permanent peace negotiation. So that is why the guns haven't started back up again. There is actually a ceasefire. What Vance and the delegation were discussing was a more permanent settlement. Right. Pick up a course at the academic agency. Maybe Foundations of Politics. I tell you, Donald Trump could pick up Foundations of Economics while he's busy screwing up the world economy on an ego trip, which is basically what this is. Can't stand the sight of Iran having the ball. So he's like, oh, I declare the ball mine. It must be mine. Fucking pathetic is what it is. And honestly, I'm sick of even hearing about him, Trump. Really, I'm sick of him at this point. But anyway, we'll see how this goes. Yet another twist and turn in this story. Bye, everyone. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.